Tuesday, the 25th of May, Yud Bei Sivan, Vavei David Abakasis, Parshas Baalosecha, the inverted Nun. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Family Stimler, Lechovad HaNesurim today of Moshe Yehuda Lipschitz and Rivki Stimler.
Good morning, everybody. In this week's Parsha, we have the smallest Parsha of the whole Chumash, which is just two psukim, which are preceded by a nun hafucha, or some poskim call him nun menuzeret, a nun turned around, and ends with a nun turned around, and it's obviously there for a purpose to highlight something, and we can learn a few halachas from here. In Masechet Yadayim, the Mishnah tells us as follows. It says as follows. Sefer shenimchat v'nishtayer bo shimonim v'chamesh otiyot. You have a Sefer Torah. It's been damaged, it's been rubbed out. But there is 85 letters left still intact in the Sefer Torah. Keparshas v'hi ben Soharon. Like this small chapter that we have in the Torah, which begins with the word v'hi ben Soharon, which also has 85 letters in it, Metamet HaYadayim is still got the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, and we know there was a Gezeirah that the Chachomim had made, that at one time the Kohanim used to keep Truma in the Aron Kodesh.
What?
Truma, food that belongs to the Kohanim, which is holy, talking about the Aron Kodesh, they used to keep it in the Aron Kodesh, thinking that way no one, Azar, won't touch it. And as a result of that, mice used to be attracted to the Aron Kodesh. And not only would they eat the food, but they would damage the Sefer Torah. So the Chachomim made a Gezeira that the Sefer Torah actually makes the food tome, and also if you touch it, it makes you tome. To constitute the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, the minimum that must be written is 85 letters. So that's the Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim, and then it repeated again, Megillah shekatuv ba shmoinim v'chamesh otiyot keparshas v'hi b'nisso aron mitamet yadayim. He wrote only one omud. You haven't written a whole Sefer Torah. One omud. And in that omud you started writing, you only wrote 85 letters. It's also got the Kedusha that can make your hands unclean. The Gemara in Shabbos also, in Kuf Tevzayin, it tells us that if there is a fire in a house, and when there is a fire, we are not allowed to get busy saving items from the house in case we get carried away and extinguish the fire. But if there is a Sefer Torah there, or there is Kitve Kodesh, then there are certain kulas the Chachomim made to their Gezeira of not saving items, and you can take a Sefer Torah out to Hotzer She'ena Meureves. What constitutes a Sefer Torah? Again, if you have an Omud, and it's only got 85 letters, it's also got the holiness of Sefer Torah. And we learn it all from here, from this Parsha. The Gemara Shabbos Daf Kuf Tetvav says as follows. Tan Rabbonim, Vayi bin Soharon Vayomim Moshe. Parasha zu asala HaKadosh Baruch Hu simaniyot melemala ulmata. Hashem made simonim, made something to highlight this parasha above and below. Lomar shen zu mekoyma, in order to teach us that's out of context. It doesn't belong here. And I'll explain that a bit. It's talking about Vayi bin Soharon. When the Aaron is going to move, then Moshe Rabbeinu will call out, Kum Hashem v'yafutzo ibecha. And then, when the Aron is going to stop, Shuva Hashem revoda feisrael. Here we're dealing, Vayhi ha'am kimitoinenim, that the people complained about the food, and there was a plague. What's it got to do with the journey of Am Yisrael in the desert, and therefore telling us that when the Aron moves And we went forward in order to prepare the way for Am Yisrael. The Aron did that, went 3 days ahead, and then Am Yisrael would follow behind. It's out of context here.
3 days?
Hmm? Three days. 3 days ahead it went to prepare the way. And therefore the Gemara says this is out of context, and it belongs much earlier in the book of Bamidbar, when he talks about the Golim, how they were encamped and how they would journey. And there when he tells you that the Levim would move, the Aron would move. So it doesn't belong here. So why is it out of context? In order to divide, to make a division, so the Gemara, Rabbi Omer, the Gemara answered there, Enzo Mekoima, this is not his place, but he only came to make a pause between different negative incidents which brought about punishment to Klal Yisrael. The first incident was, just immediately before this, it tells us that they left Har Sinai after being in Har Sinai for Kabbalah Satoira, the first time they left, it tells you that they left Har Sinai. The way it's worded, Chazal learned from there that they couldn't wait to get away from Har Sinai. The Gemara compares it to a child leaving school. I've had enough of school. I can't wait for the bell to ring and let me get out of here. So the people at the time, I thought they'd been in Har Sinai for a long time. They've been encamped there for a long time. They got loads of mitzvahs, and they were worried if they stay there, not only would we have 613 mitzvahs, but we will have a few thousand more. So they thought, let's get out of here. So it's looked as a negative, something negative. Immediately after this parsha, we have the complaint of the people. They journeyed out into the desert, and then they realized, you know, we're in a desert, you know, this is not a normal life. And they started complaining, we're not happy with the mon, we want meat, we want flesh. So it was two negative incidents, and in order to, the Torah makes a break in it. That's the first opinion, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Omer, Lamin Hashem Huzer. No. That's not the real explanation, he says. Ella mipenei shesefer choshev hu b'nei atzmoy. These two psukim are a sefer Torah on its own. It's got the status of one sefer Torah. And what it actually means is that the book of Bamidbar actually is not one book, but three books. And from the beginning until Vayi Bin Soa is one book. Vayi Bin Soa to Psukim is one book. And then afterwards is a third book. So that in total we actually have seven books of the Torah, not five books of the Torah. And the Gemara goes on and learns from there the Pasuk that says in Mishlei, Chatzva Amudei HaShivah, she carved her pillars, the Amudim of the Torah, seven. From there we learn that really we have seven Sifra Torah, and Vayi Bin Soa is an important section of the Torah that merits to be a Sefer on its own. We'll see in a minute what is the merit of this, and what it means, and why the Nun. Now, Rashi here and the Gemara don't explain what is this simonim. All the Gemara says that Hashem made simonim, something to highlight, here we've got something special. But Rashi doesn't tell us here. But in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara deals also with inverted nuns there. There's a psalm there, Hodol Hashem Ki Tov, which deals, has the four people that have to make a bracha of Hodah. And there the Gemara highlights, mentions that in Tehillim we find that there are seven inverted nuns, by the psukim dealing with sailors, those who travel by sea. Seven inverted moons. And there Rashi actually tells us what is a siman. And Rashi there says, Vahi bin Saw Vahi Stuma Vahi Shane Pesukim Levan Admitonim Velifnehim Veacharehim Shteinunim. There are two nuns, Hafuchos, upside down, Nikraot Bilshon HaTikun Menuzarot. It's another word Chazal used for this word, for the nun Menuzar. The word Menuzar comes from the word Vayizoru Achor, they turned backwards. So the nun actually, there's a lot of controversy as to how this nun should be in a certain Torah. So some opinions say, upside down, that means that the top of the nun should be facing downwards. Others say, no, you just turn it, instead of facing the normal way, which is the next letter, you turn it backwards to face the previous letter. The Rashal, the Maharshal, both in Chochmat Shlomo, in the Gemara and Shabbos, and in his Shail of Shuvos, he discusses this Gemara, and he is not happy with these nunim. And he says, the Gemara didn't tell us what it is. It could just be a dot on top of the beginning of the section. And he's not convinced that it's a nun, the Maharshal. And in fact, he even goes to the extent to say that to put a nun in between two words is superfluous in the Sefer Torah, and it will render it possible. The Noi de Behuda argues with him, and he says, even if the siman should not be with a nun, that the fact that you have a nun in between two words does not render the Sefer Torah possible to that extent. And the Rashal goes on to tell you the various opinions that exist as to how this nun should be. And one of them is brought in the Kaf HaChaim, on the Shulchan Aruch, that quoting Minchat Shai, who always deals with all the peculiar things in the Sefer Torah, any odd words or anything like that. And the Minchat Shai explained the word Menuzeren means like this. It means you start writing the nun in the normal fashion, so you've got the nun facing the right way, and as you come down, you turn backwards. So it looks like a Z. And some Sefer Torah have like that. So it's a nun facing the right way, and come back, then you turn backwards. So there are various shittas how this nun should be. The Zohar goes on to explain the significance of the nun, and its shape, actually, and how it should look. And if I may quote you the Zohar, it says as follows. Vahi bin Soharon vayomer Moshe. Rabbi Elazar Amar. Chacha idle istakla. We need to look at this parsha. Nun dehi mechazra. There's a nun that's facing mechazer. Chazer is turning backwards. Leachoira. Very clearly explained. We have a nun that's turning backwards. Hacha, betre duchte, in two places, at the beginning, at the end. Am I why? Ella, makitiv leela, what's written before it? Ve'aron berit Hashem, noisea lifnehem. A few psukim before, it says that Am Yisrael left Har Sinai, and the Aaron went in front. Derech Shiloshit Yamim, 3 days, Latul Lahem Menucha, in order to prepare the way that Am Yisrael should journey after the Aaron had prepared the way. Kivan Dehava Natila Roina, when the Aaron went forward, Nun Natil Ale, the letter Nun would be on top of the Aaron. Veha Shechinta Al Gavei Aaron Hayativ. He's telling us that the letter Nun represents the Shekhinah, and that the Shekhinah dwells where the Torah is. So if the Torah moves, the Shekhinah goes with the Torah. Chazal tell us that
when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, where does the Shekhinah dwell? The Arba Amos Shel Halacha. The person who learns Halacha, that's where the Shekhinah dwells. So similar here, the Shekhinah is dwelling on top of the Orem. And the Orem has moved, so the Shekhinah goes. Tachazir, it goes on the Zohar. The Aron would always go forward 3 days to scout forward. Nun, lohava mit paresh mina, the Nun, which is the Shekhinah, would not separate from the Torah. The Natilim man would go with the Sefer Torah. Umigo rechimu dilhond Israel, but the Shekhinah cared for Am Israel. Therefore, if it goes with the Sefer Torah, it abandons Am Yisrael, who are behind 3 days. So a compromise. Ahdar Anpoi, it turns its face back. So it's with the Aron, but not facing the Aron, facing away from the Aron, towards the Jewish people who are behind 3 days. Miligave Aroina, Kehai Ayala de Azlata Kad Ihi Azil. Compares it, I don't know what the moshel is, it compares it to a deer. It lives its place where it lives its young, and as it goes forwards, it keeps on turning its head backwards to make sure that the young are still there. Ahdar apoyle atar denafik. It turns its face always back to where it came from to make sure that everything is alright. Ve'alden bin so'aron, therefore, when the Aron went, Nun as haran poi, and bin lekablayed Israel, the Nun would turn towards Am Israel because it cared. Ve'kitzve gufa legave arona, and its back, its shoulders, are towards the Aron. So a very clear description of what the simon should be, no doubt what the simon should be, and how the Nun should look. Ve'alden kadaroina havanatil, when the Aron would journey, Moshe amar kuma Hashem lo tishbokalon, since the Shekhinah has departed from the Machaneh, from the Am Yisrael, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu always called out, kuma Hashem, rise up Hashem, don't leave your children behind. Ahdar anpah legavan, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Shekhinah, don't leave us behind without protection. Turn towards Am Yisrael. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Kum Hashem. Kedin Nun it hadal legavayhu. I like the Nun that turns that way. Kegob nada Nun hafucha keman sad mehader anpe leman derachim. It turns its face to the one that it loves and cares for. Vekad hava shari aroina lemishre. When the Aron would stop, then Ahdar Nun Anpoi Israel. As soon as the Aron would stop, and then Am Israel would journey forward, the Nun would then turn back towards the Aron, which is where it belongs. Ve'it Hada Legave Arona Ubekolet Hada. It's very clear where it belongs and what it is and what the simon is. Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar. For sure, I agree with the way it's been explained. Rav Shimon is agreeing with his son, Rav Elazar. The explanation that he gave as to what the simon is, I agree with you. Rav Elazar didn't quite explain whether it's the Nun just turning around, or whether it's upside down, the head downwards, which Rav Shimon came to add to what his son said, that yes, the Nun is turning back, but also head down. Head down. V'hai be'orach mishal legave Aron. So we've got two things that happens, that the Nun is turning backwards and that the Nun is upside down. So we need to now examine as to why this Nun in this shape is representing what it represents and what is its significance. And what in Masechet Yadayim and what the Gemara said in Shabbos, Masechet Shabbos, that these two psukim are so significant, so important, that it needed highlights before and after. I saw that Rav Moshe Sternbuch in Ta'am Vadat, his commentary on the Torah, he says, what is the big message in this parsha? And he comes with a very novel idea. He says, the Aaron is moving and he's going. The Aaron is the Torah. He says, that's what we need. We need the Torah should spread every corner of the world. And that Torah should be established in every corner of the world. And as a result of that, that if Torah is established in every possible corner of the world where there are Yidden, where Jewish people are living, we establish kollelim and yeshivas and places of Torah learning, the result is that Hashem will get rid of our enemies and our enemies will be scattered and run away. Chas v'shalom, if we're not doing that, then Moshe Rabbeinu prays for the alternative. Tshuva Hashem. That the alternative is we've got to repent, we've got to do tshuva, we've got to return to Hashem. So the highlight of this parsha, says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, is the concept that Torah has to be spread around the entire world, wherever there are Yidden, Torah must be planted and put there. It's not enough to say, we've got a big yeshiva in Yerushalayim, so, you know, our children in London will go up to Yerushalayim. Wherever possible in the world, wherever there are communities, there is a need to establish a place of Torah. That's the message that Rav Moshe Sternbuch is trying to say, the importance of this parsha, which needs highlighting before and after. The Rabbeinu Bechaye gives a different perspective. He says there is an inyan of emunah that we need to establish here. And what is this emunah? Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, he says, when you journey in a desert, the Sinai deserts, you have vast areas of land, just dry land with nothing in the horizon for miles and miles and miles, and sometimes big mountains coming out. He says, it gives a person the impression that this cannot be created, that this has always been there. This is nature, it's always been there. As those who believe that the world is Kadmon, it's always been there. So the Rabbeinu Bechaye is saying, there are certain features in the world that would make a person believe this has always been here. What are they? If we see an ocean, vast ocean, miles and miles of ocean, it becomes a little bit tempting to believe it's always been here. Who can create this? If you see large mountains, massive mountains, you also tend to believe, how can you create this? It's always been here. And the desert is one of those. So we have a sea, we have a desert, and we have all these things make you believe that the world has always been there. On such a situation, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, is where we need to strengthen the emunah that it's not always been there, but rather that Hashem has created it. And hence the idea of highlighting this parsha to tell you that it's the work of Hashem, and it only exists because Hashem makes it be there. And that's the Indian of the Oran going there in the middle of their journey in the desert, that they should not for a minute believe that this is just happens to be there by itself. And this fundamental emunah is so fundamental that Rabbeinu Bechaye says the need to put a Nun in front and afterwards. He gives another fundamental, which is more of a mystical explanation. And then the other fundamental belief that he says, which why this passion needs to be highlighted, is a fundamental belief that this world not only is a created world, which means Hashem preceded the world, but that Hashem will outlast the world. In other words, the world is finite. It will come to an end, and Hashem will outlive the world. That's what the Gemara tells us in various places, in Baba Batra, in Sanhedrin. Shit alfe shnin have alma. The world will exist for 7 millennia, and on the 7th millennia, v'had haruv, it will be destroyed, and then on the 8th millennia, it will regenerate and be renewed. So he wants to learn there from the end of the wording of this parsha here of Ibn Soar that it talks alfe Yisrael. And he wants to learn the alpha, the millennia, the 6 millennia, and then in the end, he plays on the word Yisrael. And he says the word Yisrael, although it means Am Yisrael, but the sin can be changed with the Samech. And it means to remove. It will be removed, and then renewed. And this is a fundamental belief, and therefore he says, this parsha needs the highlighting in advance and afterwards in order to make us believe these fundamental beliefs. And so the Ma'or Vashemesh explains the Nun. And he says the Nun, the shape of a Nun is a Yud on the top and then a Vav coming down with a base. He says the Yud represents Shem Havaya, the source and fountain of all the energy and all the blessing and all the shefa that comes to the world. But here it's upside down. It's upside down. So the Yud is at the bottom. The Vav is then there, is afterwards. He says, that's the normal flow of how the divine energy, how the divine blessing should come to the world. It should come from the Yud and flow downwards to reach the Hay and to reach onwards so that Hashem's blessing should reach the world in the right order. In the reverse order, what you have is Din. It's a time of judgment and severities. And hence the upside down. That is not in the right order. And hence Hashem's divine blessing is not flowing the right way. And since it came to divide between two Pur'anuyot, like the Gemara said, one bad negative influence, the other one, it's highlighted by these Nuns that are upside down. And finally, I saw Rav Shlomo Ganstrid. He wrote a book on Soifus. And at the end, he gives a bit of a drush, and he wants to explain why we have this Nun as we have it at the beginning and at the end. And he also follows the idea that it's coming to divide between punishment, but he has a good message coming out of it. And he wants to tell us like this. We know that there are 100 klolos, which we call toichachas. In Parshas Ki Tavo, 98, and then there is another two, which he actually tells you what the other two are. He listed their 98, and he then mentions the Chachomim add another two, making it into 100. And he wants to say that the 100, Hashem vayahafoch Hashem lecha et haklala libracha. And that's the concept of the Nun upside down, and two make 100, that Hashem will turn all the curses and kalolas into brachas, and that's why the Nunim, which are encompassing this Torah in the middle, that if Am Yisrael stays with the Torah, Hashem, you don't need to worry about the kalolas, Hashem turns them upside down, hence the two Nunim making the 100.